You can be turning in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. I trust that you have your Bible with you, and this will be the main passage we're focusing on this morning, although we will be looking at a few others as well. But let's start here with Matthew chapter 5. And once you get to Matthew chapter 5, run your finger down to verse 43. We're going to read verses 43 through 45. This is Jesus speaking, of course. And he says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for another opportunity to look into it this morning. I pray that through the work of your Holy Spirit, you will speak to each one of our hearts, and we'll all receive something from your word today that will help us in our walk with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember that classmate in elementary school who pulled the chair out from underneath you just as you proceeded to sit down? Or how about the bully in junior high that took your change that your mother had scraped up for you to buy your favorite ice cream? Or maybe there was that so-called best friend in high school who took your girlfriend or a boyfriend from you right before prom. It seems to me that we've all, at one time or another, come across some mean people as we were growing up. For some of us, we couldn't afford to have apartments by ourselves, so we got a roommate to share in the rent, only to discover that they thought paying rent was an option, leaving us with the balance and the eviction notice. Or what about that coworker on your job that took all your wonderful ideas and presented them to the boss as if they were their wonderful ideas, which got them that big corner office? Well, once again, it seems like we've all come across some mean people at one time or another. These mean people that we've described are usually considered to be our enemy because they don't like us and we aren't too fond of them either. But as Christians, we're to have a different attitude and a different response towards those who seem to be cruel toward us. You see, contrary to worldly belief, we are to love mean people. Now, I know the world's philosophy is, since you stole from me, wait till you see the bait I use to steal from you. But for the Christian, we're to love those who hurt us. Now, of course, it's not easy to love mean people. I'm not going to kid you about that. But with Christ, it is not impossible. As a matter of fact, Jesus gives us ways to love our enemies. And who better to show us how to love than Jesus himself, who was sent into this world because of the love God has for us. In 1 John 4:9, our Bible says that in this was manifested the love of God toward us, in that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, as we this morning paint the picture for this text we've just read, we see that Jesus was in the beginning stages of his ministry. He had just left his home in Nazareth and came and dwelled at Capernaum. And after calling some of his first disciples, Jesus began teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He also healed people who had all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. And as one might imagine, Jesus began to catch the attention of many people. The Bible says that great multitudes of people started to follow Jesus. People came from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. As a matter of fact, his fame even went throughout all Syria, which was a neighboring nation. And what made this so amazing was that people came from every geographical area of the nation of Israel to follow Jesus. And when Jesus saw the multitudes that had followed him, he stepped up into the pulpit, so to speak. The Bible calls it a mountain. And he began to teach. And this particular occasion is called the Sermon on the Mount. And it covers chapters 5 through 7 of the Gospel of Matthew. And in this message, Jesus began with blessings, because he came into this world to bless us. He also taught us about things such as murder, divorce, fasting, and how to pray. And in our text, Jesus teaches us how to love mean people, those we might consider to be our enemies. And here we find three ways to love mean people. Now, this doesn't mean that there are only three ways, you know, to exhibit love towards mean people, because there are many ways we can show love towards people that we might consider to be our enemies. But Jesus, in this text, shares with us three ways. In verse 43, Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." You see, the Jews considered their neighbors to be only those who were from their own country, their own nation, and of the same religion. Anybody outside of this, they looked upon them as their enemies. But where did they get this idea of hating their enemies? Because it wasn't biblical. As a matter of fact, one of the Jewish laws found in Exodus says that if you see your enemy's oxen or donkey that's gone astray, be sure to bring it back to them. So I don't know where they got this idea of hating your enemy. I don't know, maybe when God brought the children of Israel into the promised land and told them to destroy the people that were there, maybe that's where they got it. Maybe instead of properly seeing this as God's judgment upon sinful people, instead they mistook it as a mandate to hate those towards those from other nations. And maybe that got passed from generation to generation. The Jews probably also got the idea of hating their enemies from worldly philosophy, which says, if you don't love me, then I don't love you. And if you hate me, then I definitely hate you. But Jesus sets the record straight. In verse 44, he says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." And speaking with authority, Jesus doesn't give us an option of whether or not we want to love our enemies, but he commands us to love our enemies. And as Christians, since we are to love our enemies, it's important that we look at some ways that we can love these mean people. And one way we can love mean people, first of all, is by blessing them that curse us. That's the first thing Jesus says there in verse 44. Bless them that curse you. You see, mean people don't care what comes out of their mouth. But as Christians, we have to be conscious of what comes out of ours. In Ephesians 4:29, Paul writes, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And what we need to do is we need to follow the example that Jesus set for us. Now, Peter talks about that example. So take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, And we'll begin reading in verse 21. 21 to 23. 1 Peter 2, 21 to 23. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Now notice, "who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth rightly." So in 1 Peter, we're told that when a person insults us, we aren't to insult them back. Instead, we're to respond by blessing them. And in doing this, we inherit a blessing. Now, how do we bless those who speak evil towards us? We're talking about mean people who are trying to degrade our character. How do we bless people like that? Well, we bless them by speaking well of them. Behind our backs, mean people are tearing down our character. But behind their backs, we are to be speaking kind words about them. You see, kindness is the ability to love people more than they really deserve. You see, the tongue is a small member of our body, but it can cause catastrophic damage to one's heart. Take your Bible again and turn to the book of James, because James has a lot to say about this subject. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 2 just for the sake of time. It says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." And then look at these last two verses here. "Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing." And notice this, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." And the point I'm trying to make is that if we obey God and bless those who curse us, then God will not allow the words of mean people to destroy us. So if you want to be victorious over those who speak evil against you, then what you have to do is bless them. That's number one. Speak well of them. That's the first thing Jesus says we need to do when it comes to loving mean people, to loving our enemy. Now, another way we can love mean people that Jesus speaks of is by doing good to them that hate us. That's the next thing Jesus mentions there in verse 44. Now, in English grammar, the word love can be used as a noun, but it also can be used as an action verb. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Love can be shown through physical action when we do good things to those who hate us. Now, Paul speaks about this in his letter to the Romans. So one more passage, turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 12. And look at what Paul says concerning this subject in Romans chapter 12. And once you get to Romans chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 14. Romans 12, verse 14, it says, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in thine own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." So he says that if your enemy is hungry, feed them. And if they are thirsty, give them something to drink. And what this is, it's a reminder to us that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You cannot love without giving. When we do good things to those who hate us, by giving to those who hate us, he says we heap burning coals on their head. That phrase refers to an old tradition where a person would carry a pan of burning coals above their head as a public act of repentance. And what Paul was trying to say is that when you do good things to those that hate you, they just might become ashamed enough of how they've treated you, how badly and how sinfully they've treated you, and how badly and sinfully they've treated others, and they may turn from their sin and get their heart right with God. But even if they don't stop hating you, you can still have peace knowing that you've done your part and God is well pleased. You see, rather than just ignoring those who hate us and just going about our business, Jesus wants us to confront them, but to confront them in a specific way. He wants us to confront haters with acts of goodness. Because if we don't, then we might miss an opportunity to lead someone to Christ. Because, for instance, when you buy flowers for that person's birthday who hates you, you better believe you're going to catch their attention. I remember as I was growing up, I used to love to watch a cooking show on TV by a chef named Justin Wilson. He was an old chef. He cooked Cajun recipes. And as he would talk, he had that Cajun accent. And he would say, "This is going to be good. I guarantee. Well, I'll tell you what. You buy flowers for the birthday of your enemy, and you're going to get their attention. I guarantee. And they might come to you one day and ask, "What made you buy those flowers?" And that will be your opportunity to share with them the good news that changed your life. The news that Jesus still saves all sinners and changes their lives forever. So how do you love mean people? Number one, bless them. Bless them. Say good things about them. Take the high road. Don't be like they are. Take the high road. Number two, do good to them. Do good to them. And then finally, as I get ready to close, number three, we can love mean people by praying for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. That's the next thing Jesus said there in verse 44. Now, you know what I've found? People don't always have a reason to be abusive towards you. Sometimes they just seek to harm and humiliate others just for the fun of it. These are the type of people that we call bullies. But they are also the type of people that Jesus told us to pray for. We're to pray for those who seek to harm us and embarrass us. We're to pray for those who persecute us, those who harass us and give us a hard time. And you know what? Jesus didn't command us to do something that he himself didn't do. Think about it. Think about it. It was on the cross as he was hanging there, being mocked and humiliated and tortured and taunted. It was as he hung there being made fun of, as he hung there bleeding and dying, that Jesus prayed for his crucifiers who were despitefully using and persecute him. Luke 23, 34 says, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I know that we're talking about Jesus here, right? And he's different than we are. Right? Because he was also God. But it is humanly possible for us to pray for our enemies as well. And we know that because the Bible shares with us an account in Acts chapter 7 where Stephen, one of the very first deacons and one of the very first evangelists of the church, was being stoned to death. But even as he was being stoned, he still prayed for his persecutors. As the stones hit his body, according to Acts 7:60, he prayed, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He prayed for his enemies. And so if we want to show the true spirit of Christianity, then we have to follow these commands of love that would make us seem peculiar to the world. They're trying to get you fired from your job, but pray for them. I know they don't want you to have to see you with nice things, and you might have even caught them scratching your new car, but pray for them. And when you pray, don't only pray for those mean people, but pray and ask God to help you respond in the right way towards them. Ask God to show you how to love them when you know they have no love for you. When we love our enemies in the ways Jesus commanded, we will show that we are indeed the children of God. Did you notice that back in the Matthew 5 passage in verse 44? 45 rather, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God is our example in loving our enemies, because he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And if God showers his love on all mankind, including his enemies, then we should be able to do the same. We should be able to love mean people by blessing those who curse us, doing good to those that hate us, and by praying for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. Because if you think about it, before we came to Christ, we were the enemies of God. But yet he loved us enough to send his son to die for our sins. And he left the prime example of loving our enemies. There's an old hymn that unfortunately is not in our book, but I love this old hymn. Matter of fact, I think Royce sang it as a special music not too long ago. It contains these words. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. And then it goes on, it says, love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. God himself set the example for us to follow when it comes to loving mean people. And so let's make a commitment today to follow that example. Let's put in practice the three principles Jesus laid out for us when it comes to loving our enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Because that's how you love mean people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is so practical that it doesn't just leave us to wonder what kind of life we're to live as a Christian. You clearly outline it for us. And I pray that you'd help us to put into practice the things that we looked at this morning from your word. And then, Lord, we also pray that if there is somebody who's listening that does not know Christ as their Savior, we pray that today they would come to know him, that they would open up their heart and invite Christ in to wash their sins away and to give them everlasting life, to be their Savior and Lord, so that they can begin to live the life of love that you desire each one of us to live. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.